Now look at part three. You'll hear an interview with two young coders, John Beard and Amy Newton, who have developed apps designed to help people become healthier. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 70 seconds to look at part three.
I'm talking to two people who've created their own apps. Amy, let's start with you. Your app, Stand, which simply tells people to stand up, has been very popular. Why is that?
It concerns something that I think a growing number of people are becoming aware of, and that's the detrimental effect of sitting for too long. With my app, people can set an alarm to ring at regular intervals, reminding them to get out of their chairs. I noticed that my mum, who works at home and sits at a desk for most of the day, was starting to get back problems and put on weight. Previously, she'd worked in an office and had regular meetings to go to or colleagues to chat to, not to mention lunch breaks or the commute she had. I think the key thing about my app is that it replaces that rhythm of movement you get in an office environment. At home, people often have nothing to stop them sitting for hours at a time, and I think this is something that may affect more and more of us if we start working from home.
Are people using new technology to take better care of their health?
Definitely. Apps are easy to download, and I'd like to think that I've helped a lot of people become fitter, or at least consider their health more, because one of the criticisms of technology is that it makes us unhealthy. We spend too much time slumped in front of a screen. Technology is so ubiquitous now. Nearly everyone you see is glued to a smartphone. But as I see it, we can turn that round into a huge advantage, because there are ways to use technology to make thinking about our health and the need to exercise a habit, in the same way that we constantly check our emails.
John, how does your app differ from Amy's?
Well, firstly, I never had any intention of making a health app. Basically, my tutor on my course asked us all to create a new kind of game and would be assessed on it. And I thought that instead of something where you make a cartoon character to go around a maze or something, why don't I get people doing this in real life? So my app locates your position, maps out the streets around you, and places virtual prizes in different places, like a gold coin or a treasure chest. And you walk around, go to where your phone says the prizes are, and collect points. You can play against other people like a race, and as a kind of accidental byproduct, it gets people moving about.
Does your app help people become fit then?
Accidentally, yes. But what we're seeing now is a trend of exergames, exercise in game form, where you're applying the principles of gaming to a real-life activity. The thing is that anyone can go for a walk around their streets if they want. Nobody needs an app for that. But what apps like mine do is give people some kind of extra incentive. And that's what health apps need, I think, although there doesn't necessarily have to be a game element.
Do you agree, Amy, Because your app doesn't have any game element.
Well, you're right. My app doesn't have the same fun element as John's, but it does have the incentive he talked about, in that users get a record at the end of each day of how much time they've spent in a sedentary position. Hopefully, as they use the app more, this time gets less and less, and so they can see they're improving their lifestyle. The app is making a difference, and there's some kind of tangible result. And that, I think, is probably the most important thing a health app can provide you with.
A question for you both. What's the future of health apps? Maybe in the future, people will have some kind of special smartwatch which records how much we're moving, or what we eat, or what our heart rate is.
Well, that kind of technology is already here. But yes, in the future, we'll have more and more technology that's continuously communicating with us about our personal health, alerting us if there's something wrong.
Okay, but I doubt if everyone is or will be interested in having continual data about themselves. Many people don't think about their health until they're older. But we'll begin to see more things like smart glasses opening up completely new ways of merging gaming with exercise. We could, for example, be playing virtual tennis with someone on the other side of the world. Who knows?
Thank you both.
Now you'll hear part three again.
I'm talking to two people who've created their own apps. Amy, let's start with you. Your app, Stand, which simply tells people to stand up, has been very popular. Why is that?
It concerns something that I think a growing number of people are becoming aware of, and that's the detrimental effect of sitting for too long. With my app, people can set an alarm to ring at regular intervals, reminding them to get out of their chairs. I noticed that my mum, who works at home and sits at a desk for most of the day, was starting to get back problems and put on weight. Previously, she'd worked in an office and had regular meetings to go to or colleagues to chat to, not to mention lunch breaks or the commute she had. I think the key thing about my app is that it replaces that rhythm of movement you get in an office environment. At home, people often have nothing to stop them sitting for hours at a time, and I think this is something that may affect more and more of us if we start working from home.
Are people using new technology to take better care of their health?
Definitely. Apps are easy to download, and I'd like to think that I've helped a lot of people become fitter, or at least consider their health more, because one of the criticisms of technology is that it makes us unhealthy. We spend too much time slumped in front of a screen. Technology is so ubiquitous now. Nearly everyone you see is glued to a smartphone. But as I see it, we can turn that round into a huge advantage, because there are ways to use technology to make thinking about our health and the need to exercise a habit, in the same way that we constantly check our emails.
John, how does your app differ from Amy's?
Well, firstly, I never had any intention of making a health app. Basically, my tutor on my course asked us all to create a new kind of game and would be assessed on it. And I thought that instead of something where you make a cartoon character to go around a maze or something, why don't I get people doing this in real life? So my app locates your position, maps out the streets around you, and places virtual prizes in different places, like a gold coin or a treasure chest. And you walk around, go to where your phone says the prizes are, and collect points. You can play against other people like a race, and as a kind of accidental byproduct, it gets people moving about.
Does your app help people become fit then?
Accidentally, yes. But what we're seeing now is a trend of exergames, exercise in game form, where you're applying the principles of gaming to a real-life activity. The thing is that anyone can go for a walk around their streets if they want. Nobody needs an app for that. But what apps like mine do is give people some kind of extra incentive. And that's what health apps need, I think, although there doesn't necessarily have to be a game element.
Do you agree, Amy? Because your app doesn't have any game element.
Well, you're right. My app doesn't have the same fun element as John's, but it does have the incentive he talked about, in that users get a record at the end of each day of how much time they've spent in a sedentary position. Hopefully, as they use the app more, this time gets less and less, and so they can see they're improving their lifestyle. The app is making a difference, and there's some kind of tangible result. And that, I think, is probably the most important thing a health app can provide you with.
A question for you both. What's the future of health apps? Maybe in the future, people will have some kind of special smartwatch which records how much we're moving, or what we eat, or what our heart rate is.
Well, that kind of technology is already here. But yes, in the future, we'll have more and more technology that's continuously communicating with us about our personal health, alerting us if there's something wrong.
Okay, but I doubt if everyone is or will be interested in having continual data about themselves. Many people don't think about their health until they're older. But we'll begin to see more things like smart glasses opening up completely new ways of merging gaming with exercise. We could, for example, be playing virtual tennis with someone on the other side of the world. Who knows?
Thank you both.
That's the end of part 3.